My name is Levi, and one of the pastors here at Evangel, and I am so glad that you are here with us this morning. One of the things at Evangel is we open the Word of God together, and we raise the name of Jesus up, and that's what we're going to do today. But before we do that, let's just pray. Father, we come before you. We worship you and you alone. You are a good, good Father, and all of your love and all of your goodness is seen through the person of Jesus, and we're just thankful for him, and we're thankful for the sacrifice that he made for us. We ask that as we come together and open your word, that it would change our lives and penetrate our hearts and move us into the direction of following him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All summer long, we've been in a series about roller coasters, the summer of roller coasters, and we've been talking about fear. And if you haven't been with us, I have said over and over again, I don't like roller coasters. I'm scared of roller coasters. And what we've been doing is going, what does it look like to walk through our fears, to walk with God in the midst of this? And today we're going to be doing that also, but not talking about fear, but talking about this idea of what does it mean to ride the roller coaster that God has set out for us? What does it mean to be strapped in? What does it mean to be connected? But there is one roller coaster that I actually do like. Most of them I hate. I absolutely hate. But there is one that I love because it is smooth. It doesn't have that like tick, 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 you're about to die sound. It's just awesome. And it straps you in. You feel secure. And it's called the Batman. That's one of the roller coasters, maybe the only roller coaster that I've really enjoyed. And I remember the first time I rode it, I was so excited. And I just felt, man, this was awesome. This is something I could do. I felt safe in it. I felt like this was just so much fun. It didn't, the loops on it go like outside and not inside. And I just thought it was great. And then I took a step off of it. And all of a sudden, I was dizzy. And it had knocked me off balance just a little bit. And so there, I was exiting and there was these stanchions there. And so I was grabbing a hold of these stanchions and I was fine as I was walking out and I was kind of walking to the end of it. And then the stanchions ended and I took a step out and I did not realize how much this thing had messed my head up. And I went off of balance, took three steps to my right, and there was a big garbage can there and I knocked it over and everyone started laughing just as you did. And I started to think about that this week and laughing at myself and my just lack of ability. I was never dizzy when I was on the roller coaster. I didn't know I was dizzy. I had no dizziness on the roller coaster. But when I got off of the roller coaster is when I got really, really, really dizzy. And I thought, man, that's oftentimes how our life with Jesus is. When we're on the roller coaster, we're secured in, we're riding life with him. It is awesome. And you know, it's going, it's doing its loops, it's ups, downs, fast, slow, and there's a beautiful thing about that. It's when we get off is when we begin to stumble. I want to give you three things when we're not on the roller coaster with Jesus, when we're not living a life that is connected to him. The Bible says that we're to abide in Christ, that we're to be connected to him all the time. And so what does it look like for us to be strapped in? What does it look like to be walking with Jesus in that way? What does it look like for us to walk in that direction where we don't get off of the roller coaster? That's what we're going to be looking at today. But I want to give you three things that happen when we step off of the roller coaster and three reasons why we step off the roller coaster. One is we just decide, like, you ever have one of those moments with God where you're just like, you're praying about something and it's awesome and you've been walking with Jesus and he answers the question, and you're like, man, that was awesome. And then we gotta get complacent. And we get complacent in such a way that we take a step off, and we take a step away, and we're not living in this dependent life anymore. We're living this life of kind of just stepping off, kind of going, I've got this. We're taking our autonomy back and saying, I got this, God, and we begin to walk away in a sense, and we get dizzy, and then we stumble, or the Bible calls it sin, and we start to fall away from him. I'll tell you, college students, freshmen, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. I'll tell you one of the things that I did when I was a freshman in college, and I tell this story almost every year. This was my stumble. I was a follower of Jesus from a very young age, went to church all the time. I got to college, and I mind you, I went to a Christian college where they required you to go to church, and I stopped going for 1 year. I figured out a way. There was people that came in, opened the door, and said, check to see if we went to church. I stopped going. And guess what happened? I began to stumble. I began to fall. I began to walk away from Jesus so bad that I began in my sophomore year, I said, I'm never going back to that college again, and I'm not going to church anymore. And it was all because of a little slow fade. It was a little step away. It was a little dizziness where I knocked over a garbage can or two. C.S. Lewis talks about it like this. He talks about this moment in our lives when we stumble and we fall and we stop meeting with God's people. We stop believing what we are a part of another kingdom. It doesn't matter how small the sins are provided, that the cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is a gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. And man, that was my story in college. And it took me, and I did go back. Obviously, I went back to church because I'm standing here now. But I did go back. But I will tell you, there were ramifications for years for that in my heart and in my life and in my walk with God. So I just want to encourage you today. If you're a college student, don't do a Levi. Don't go, hey, I'm going to take a year off. So keep walking with Jesus. Keep strapped in. Keep connected. That's the first one, is that we take a step off and we don't even really know we're off. We've had this nice moment and we step off. The second one is, we would say that we talk about being a roller coaster. One of the fun things about riding a roller coaster is the talk afterwards, right? We have this conversation. We're excited about it. We talk about our friends, and yet we don't ride the roller coaster anymore, right? We just talk about that we rode the roller coaster, and I would say this is like a cultural Christian, you know, in that time where I faded away from Jesus and from being connected to Him and abiding in Him. I would say I was a cultural Christian. I would still say if you pushed me in that direction, yeah, I'm a Christian. Because I could say the words, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. I could say those things, but I wasn't abiding. I wasn't connected. I wasn't on the roller coaster with Jesus. And we have this cultural Christian type of a thing that's going on. And we don't even know that it's happened. Another C.S. Lewis quote, he says, man has been accustomed ever since he was a boy to having a dozen incompatible philosophies dancing about together inside his head. He doesn't think of doctrines as primarily true or false, but as academic or practical, outworn or contemporary, conventional or ruthless. Jargon, not argument, is your best ally in keeping him from the church. Don't waste time trying to make him think that materialism is true. Make him think he is strong or stark or courageous. That is the philosophy of the future. That's the sort of thing he cares about. And so in those things, it starts to go, I have this. I got this. I can do this on my own. I've been good for 18 years. That's me. That's what I said. I've been good for 18 years. I don't need Jesus in my life. I've got the rules. I got the regulations. I know what I'm supposed to do. And you start to just become a cultural Christian, and you get off the roller coaster, the ride with Jesus. The third one, I think, and I've seen this and see this and have experienced this. I went to seminary, and I think I experienced this one. We're trying to learn about the roller coaster, but we rarely ride the roller coaster. Let me unpack that for just a second. That's where you're just studying things about God instead of going, man, I want to be totally dependent upon you, Jesus, every day. Christianity is a dependent endeavor. You're dependent on the Spirit of the living God to guide you, to direct you, for you to understand, for the Word of God to transform you, to move in your life and direct you to where to go. And so I think there's times, though, where you get so excited about the Word of God, which you should be excited about the Word of God, but we get so excited about talking about the roller coaster that God wants us to go on, that we miss riding the roller coaster with God. So we're talking about the structure of the roller coaster. We're talking about the beam. We're talking about how this works and how this happens and all of this stuff. And we miss out on the joy that God has given us. And it's a relationship with Him that is dependent. And it's a daily relationship with Him. And so the question that we're going to wrestle with today, because I think one of those three things we've all experienced, we've all experienced where we exchange relationship with God for something else. How do we stay strapped in? What does it look like to continue to ride the roller coaster that God has called us into? What does it look like to live by the Spirit? The reality of the Christian life is there are incredible moments, mountaintop experiences with God. There's also just like a roller coaster. There's flat moments, there's curves, there's turns, there's twists. There are things that we think it's going to go this way, and God says, no, it's going to go this way. Or you're going to go down this huge hill in this moment, and I'm asking you to do it, and you're scared out of your mind, and yet he's there, and he has you strapped in, and he's guiding, and he's directing. That's the reality. But how do we stay strapped in? How do we stay strapped in to what he is calling us? How do we abide in him, as John 15 says? How are we dependent upon him every day? We're going to look at Romans chapter 8 in just a moment. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Romans is an epistle. It's a fancy word for a letter. What we're looking at in a letter to Roman church, he's writing to the church in Rome that is made up of people of different backgrounds, people who were like Jewish people who knew God and followed God. And then there's other people who had just jumped on the roller coaster with God, and they're coming from different backgrounds. And he's trying to help them to understand what this looks like and how to live this thing out. What does it look like for them to stay strapped in? In Romans chapter 7, he talks about our reality. And in Paul, he's talking about this, and it's the doo-doo passage, and it's a paradox passage. And he says, hey, I'm a bundle of getting off the ride and on the ride, off the ride and on the ride type of a thing. What I want to do, I seem not to do. And what I should do, I don't do this thing. And it's like this back and forth that he's realizing that when he's trying to make this happen, it doesn't work. And there are times where you stumble and you fall. But how do you get back on the ride? What does this look like? And I think all of us have experienced that when you know to do right and you choose not to do right. And we've all experienced that. And so that's what this chapter is coming out of. And at the end of chapter 7, he goes, oh, what a wretched man that I am. He's like, there's no hope that I can change myself. And then verse 8, it's beautiful. Verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is what makes Christianity different. This is what makes Christianity different than any other faith in the history of mankind. What it means is that the Christian life has nothing to do with our performance. It has nothing to do with our performance or us doing something. It actually has not to do with our behavior, our stumbling. It's not these rules and regulations. It's something else. And he says then, he says, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. If it were about our behavior, we would all be condemned, is what the Bible says. But it's not about that. Well, what is it about? It's about this reality of we have a Savior. His name is Jesus. We have a Savior. The Christian life is not about what you're doing or how you're doing. The Christian life is about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why? Because it's not about your personal performance. It's not about your goodness, but his goodness. It's not about your righteousness, but his righteousness. It's not about your worthiness, but his. It's not about your holiness, but his. And so the whole Christian faith, I'm going to blow your minds with this. The Christian life is about Jesus. It's about walking with him, in his Spirit. So what do we do to stay strapped into the ride? Let's go on to verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law. And the law there is the rules or of sin and death. For the law was powerless to do For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. What is he saying here? He's saying that the law was powerless to free us from sin and death. It was powerless to give us this life that is connected in a real way to Jesus. So we think about the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments. It's not just that. It's much more than that when he talks about the law. But let's just think in those terms. Those were powerless because the flesh of humanity had different marching orders. We were on a different roller coaster. From the very beginning, we were on a different roller coaster. We were not with God. We were not on his roller coaster. We were on the roller coaster of the flesh is what he's saying here. And he's saying, you couldn't get off of that roller coaster without some help. You needed a ticket to that roller coaster. And that's what Jesus did. He came and he bought a ticket, your admission to the roller coaster of God, to have a relationship with him. Our nature couldn't do it. We couldn't just become good because we were on a totally different ride. So what he's saying is we used to go, how do we follow the rules? How do we follow the rules? And then we would fail. It's no longer about the rules, but life in the Spirit. It's about the ride that God had created. It's about the roller coaster that he created for us, that we would have a relationship with him, that we'd be connected to him, that we'd be on the tracks of life that were connected to him. Now, let me just say this. The rules that God gives, the precepts that God gives, those are good. They're there for our protection. They're there for us. They're there to show us what righteousness and holiness looks like. The rule itself, though, if we're honest, makes us want to break it. If you tell me a rule or tell me something to do, and it's a rule, there's something inside of me, and I think it's in all of us, that we want to break the rule. But he's saying these rules will protect you, but they won't change you. They'll protect you, but they won't change you. So, a speed limit sign. There, it's there to protect us, right? But there's everything inside of me that wants to go faster than 55 or 35 or 25. But it's there to protect me and it's there to protect others. And so all of the rules in this world we want to break naturally. It's just part of who we are. Even though I follow the rules, it hasn't changed that I still want to break those things. He says that in Jesus, everything changes. There's something different now. It's not about the rules. It's about something else. It's God's ride, God's track. Let's go back to verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. The optimal word in the Christian life is not do. The optimal word in the Christian life is done. It is done. It is about God and what he did and what God has done. What we couldn't do, we couldn't get on the ride of Jesus on our own. God did that by sending his own son and the likeness, in the likeness of the sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, here's what we have. Paul is saying it is not about trying and looking good, but it's about trusting. It's about trusting the Spirit. It's about trusting the ride that God has given to us. It's about abiding. It's about being connected to Jesus. After the God experience, you might feel a little dizzy. What are you to do? Like you've ridden the ride and you're now at the starting point again, or you've gone up the hill or down the hill and you might feel a little bit dizzy. What are we to do? We trust the Spirit. The Spirit to lead us again. He says that the fact that we wanted to try and keep the rules, but we couldn't. So God sends his son to cover all of that, and he puts our sin on Jesus. Jesus pays for our past, our present, and our future sins when he's on the cross. Not only did he pay for you, your sins on the cross and all the sins, it was connected that we could have this relationship, this new ride, this new life, if you will, with Christ. If Jesus rose again and he beat death on, he owns life. So Jesus beat death, thing that we cannot beat. Jesus owns life. He then can give that life to whomever he chooses. So it's no longer obey the rules because that leads to sin and death, but it's receive the life that Jesus has for you. Ride his roller coaster. Ride with him. Every day is a dependence upon him. Every day is a dependence upon the Spirit. Man is made up of both a physical body and a soul and a mind. Your soul and mind is the essence of who you are. When somebody physically dies, we mourn the loss of that person. Their body is there, but they are not there. Their essence is gone. When man was created, he was created with an essence connected to God. Adam was connected to God when he was created. Eve was connected to God. And he was created in God's perfect image. Adam was connected to God. In that moment he sinned, there was spiritual death. He was disconnected. There's a natural inclination that he was no longer on the ride with God. It was in that moment. And all of the world was corrupted out of that. In Genesis chapter 5, it's really interesting. It talks about the creation of man, and then it said God created man in his own image. Then it tells us that Adam had a son, and he was created in his likeness. The Hebrew there is different. It's really fascinating, right? We have this idea that God has created man, and then you have man creating a son in his likeness. What's it indicating is there has been a change here. Since Adam, no one has been created connected to God, is what it's telling us. That we are all caught in the curse of Adam. We're not connected to God. Everyone is created separated from God. The sin nature has been passed down through generation after generation after generation through him. This is the ride you've inherited. It's a sin nature. And we know this. How many of you have children? If you have a child, you know this. A little bundle of joy, right? And then they start crying, and then they start getting a little older, and they become liars and cheats and snakes and little thieves as they steal the cookies, right? We don't have to teach them that. We don't have to teach them. What do you do for 18 years? You teach them not to do those things. You have, because it's already in them. It's already a part of who they are. And so for 18 years, the godly family, what do? They teach them to not do those things, to know who God is, to walk with him. And you have to change their nature. You don't change a nature by just giving rules. You change a nature by introducing them to who Jesus is. And it begins to change who they are, and it begins to change that natural outcome of where they are. So parenting, you spend 18 years teaching them not to be what they naturally are. That's what we do. God gives us a new track. So how do you change someone's nature? You give them a bunch of rules, right? That works every time. No, you don't change them that way. They may change a little, and they may behave because of it. I don't speed because I don't want a ticket, and I behave because I don't want a ticket. But it doesn't change my nature in that, right? See, what Jesus did was he paid for all of our rebellion. He defeated death, and he offers life in the Spirit. He offers us what only Adam had. Remember this. Only Adam had this natural connection to God. He's the only one ever to have that natural connection. All the rest of us got the Adam curse. All of us got connected to, disconnected to that, from that. What God did, he offers what only Adam had from his inception. We don't have that. And that was a connection to him. And he did that through the person of Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. When you and I give our life to Jesus, something changes. No longer us trying to do better, but rather God has moved in, and he wants to do is equip us so that we can actually live life to the full that Jesus promises. Jesus did not bring a new set of rules, but a ticket to a relational ride with God. If it were just about following the rules, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. He just didn't have to. We already had the rules. It's called the Ten Commandments. Jesus comes and says, hey, you can't obey the rules on your own. So I'm going to come and I'm going to provide for you something that is totally different. It's a totally new ride. Here's our problem. And some of us jump in and out of this. When it comes to my house, I like to try to do things first on my own. I like a little DIY. I think I can fix everything. And that's really just not true. There's sometimes I don't understand. I don't know how to do it. YouTube has been really fantastic because there's little tricks to the trade. And so I can fix some things, right? But there's oftentimes I can't fix things. And so the commandments are kind of like this YouTube channel telling you how to fix it, but it'll never fully fix it. It'll never be good enough. And Jesus comes in and he says, it's not about do it yourself. It's about give me everything and let me do it. He's the plumber. He's the architect. He's the one who has created this life and has lived this life. And it is a beautiful thing as we begin to follow and he begins to move. He begins to transform our lives and our hearts into the likeness of who he is. This is amazing. All the way back, all the way to Adam, no one, we haven't had that relational connection. Jesus comes in and he brings a relationship. He buys our ticket to this new ride. Religion is about achieving. And it's like, I can do this on my own. Grace is what Jesus did. He says, you don't have to pay for the ticket. I'm going to give it to you. It's not something you can earn. You can't work your way to it. It's only through this ticket that I give you. And that is my life, that I'm going to die on a cross for you, that the payment of sin has been made, that you can ride this relational thing, not in the future, but right now, you can have life in the Spirit. And when Jesus leaves, he says, hey man, there's someone coming, and it's my Spirit, and it's not going to live like beside you, it's going to live inside of you and direct you. It is the tracks that God has given us to live. It's the way, this relational chunk that God directs us, and he moves in us. Religion is not that. Religion is a comparison thing. Why do we have religion? Why do we do? Well, here's why we have religion. Religion does this. It doesn't recognize that, here's the deal, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And guess what? So are you. But what religion does is, I'm better than them at least. Look at, I followed some of the rules. And then you just got to compare enough to find somebody that you're better than, right? And that's what religion does. And we all do this. And what Jesus says is none of you are good enough. Only I am good enough, and I'll give my life for you. It is done. It is not something that we're doing. And then he invites us into this new life, this second Adam life. When you're riding the roller coaster of Jesus, there is no arrogance. It's not like think about when you've been on a roller coaster. You're on this thing, you're cruising along on this thing. I have never gone on a roller coaster and went, man, I rode that thing way better than you, right? Like, you don't do that. You're just on it, right? You're just like, man, this is awesome. We're doing this together. This is incredible. And this is what God has called us into. When God called the church together, when Jesus created the church, what he created was that we would do this together, that we would love each other, that we would practice the one another's, that we would challenge each other, that we would walk on and ride on the roller coaster that he has set out for us together. It's this incredible ride together. That's why we do small groups. We have sermon-based small groups here, and this is why we do sermon-based small groups. I want to encourage you, if you're a college student, we have groups that if you want to say, hey, I want somebody who's a little older, who has run with me, has run that race for a long time. They know how to ride the race or ride the roller coaster maybe a little bit better than you. We have groups that will invite you in. You'll be connected to those. We have peer groups. Other people, we have groups for you. What we do is sermon-based small groups, and here's why. Because we're on this roller coaster together. We're learning together to walk in with Jesus. We're learning to love our neighbor as ourselves, which is a crazy concept because that is not our natural inclination. And how do we do this? What does this look like? How do we challenge each other? And we learn one thing together as we go through this. And it goes out from the body. The Spirit speaks to the body as a whole. And we do this together. And so I want to encourage you. Lisa talked about it. I think we have some cards. Yeah, life group, small group cards, and we have some other things. College students, join one of those. Be a part of one of those. Because here's what we'll say, and you'll hear this many of times, and you'll probably get sick of me saying, the sermon is not the point. It's the push toward transformation. It's the push toward the roller coaster that Jesus has called you on in your life. The Bible says that we're on this thing. And let's look at down and let's look down at verse 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. God has moved into our lives, yet our old nature is still there. And that's part of the reason we need the people to remind us of the gospel. We need to remind us of what ride we're on. We need to renew our minds. Paul talks about this in Romans, that there's through the renewing of our minds, through this new thinking, because our natural inclination is not toward God, it's away from God. And in Hebrews, it says, how do we do this? Well, we keep our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith. Who is the author and perfecter of our faith? It is Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Have you ever been on a roller coaster where it's dark and you don't know where the track's going? Those are horrible. You're thrown all over the place and you don't know where it's going to go. Is it going up? Is it going down? And you're scared out of your mind, right? Or maybe just me. I'm scared out of my mind. I hate those things. I like to know where I'm going. I like to see. You know, when we read the scriptures, when we start to ingest the scriptures and we start to walk with Jesus and we start to go, God, I am dependent on you, not just for my salvation in the future, but I'm dependent on you today. What you're doing is you're fixing your eyes on Jesus. You're fixing your eyes on the track that he has laid out for you. And that track may go this way, it may go that way, but at least you can see what's going to happen. And as you follow him, there is a security in that. There's a security in the ability to walk in the Spirit. And what he's saying in this is that it brings peace. It brings life. When our minds are fixed on Jesus, when our minds are led by the Spirit of the living God, when we are connected to the Word of God, when we're connected to the people of God, when we're connected to the Spirit of the living God on a daily basis. This is what he's trying to tell us. This is how we ride this ride and enjoy this thing. There are people who are not religious. And they say, hey, I'm just hostile toward God. Okay. And then there are people who are religious. And guess what? In this, it's saying, hey, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And so one of the things that religious people do, and irreligious, it leads to the same direction, because we have to live by the Spirit. It is a daily dependence upon him. Both of them lead to sin and death. Remember what the law leads up above. It talks about this. Where does the law lead you? It leads you to death. It just shows you that you're inadequate to do this. You are disconnected from the source. You're not on the ride and you can't buy your ticket to the ride. That ticket was bought by Jesus Christ. And so those who are just religious and those who are not religious end in the same place. Sin and death. And in this, he says, man, we receive God's peace through his grace. Grace is opposed to earning it. You don't earn it. But grace is not opposed to effort. God's not keeping score like that, I don't think. He's not keeping, whether you're doing good or bad, he's not keeping like, okay, now you make it. Jesus won the game. Jesus created the ride. When you receive Jesus, you don't have to earn anything, but you get the opportunity to ride with him. Grace does require effort. The effort is not about earning, it's about learning. It's about where's that track going? How do I ride this thing? I can anticipate what God is doing, what he's calling me into. And it says that it provides this life of peace. It provides a different life that is connected to the one that we are all designed to be connected to. It's a daily dependence upon him. If you focus on not breaking the rules, you're probably going to have a bunch of things that are, I was going to say, they're probably sinful in your life. It's just not how the Christian life works. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, what does he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added. Seek first. That's what we seek. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the track. Verse 9, let's go to that. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. I think that the church sometimes gets confused. And as believers, maybe not the church, we get confused on what we're supposed to do. One of the things that I see sometimes happen is we start to look at the world around us and we go, well, that's bad and 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 those people are bad and those people are bad and that's horrible and that, well, if they don't have Christ, the Bible says they can't please God. What are we doing as a church to speak about the ride? If you're on a roller coaster, I scream, I'll just tell you, or I sing hymns, I told you that before. I'm scared of these things, but I'm screaming. I'm like, woo! Like, once you get going, it's kind of fun, right? And maybe some of you are crazy enough to put your hands up and go, woo, this is great, right? Here's what you never do on a roller coaster. You're cruising down and you're looking at the people eating funnel cakes over there. You never do that. You're never looking outside of there. Why are you screaming? Because you're scared and it's incredible and it's fun. This is what the church should do. We're not arguing against the darkness. We're proclaiming the light of Jesus. This is the most wild, incredible ride. We're screaming because we know Jesus. And we know that he loves us and he loves them. Those who are eating the funnel cakes over here, he loves them and he wants them to know him. That's what we're proclaiming. Come join us on the ride. Because whatever you've done, wherever you've been, he is powerful enough to forgive you of all of your sins and bring you in and allow you to ride the ride of your life through the work of the Spirit in your life. That's what we're proclaiming. That's the gospel. That we were not good enough, but Jesus was. We were not able to ride this ride, but Jesus was. And we place all of our faith, all of our hope, and he bought our ticket. He paid the price for our admission to the ride that God has called us into, this connected ride to the Spirit of the living God. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, your body is going to die. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. For Christians, there is no death. There's just graduation. Up until death, there's going to be a war going on between your old and your old sin nature and the Spirit. And we're constantly learning how to ride this ride. But when we're riding this ride and we're dependent upon Jesus, we're dependent upon his Spirit, we're secured and we're connected in. We're learning how to ride the roller coaster of life, strapped in by God, guided through his tracks that he has laid out for us. But when you physically die, your sin nature dies, what it is saying, with your physical body. Just like the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, you will be raised from the dead with a glorified body, one without sin. You will have the Holy Spirit. You will have mind and soul. But you're not going to have the sinful nature. You're going to be totally connected, totally secure in that. The word redeem is to make it back into what it was originally intended to be. That is what Jesus is doing in us. Not just in the future, But now he's working that out. He's redeeming. He's going into those places in our lives where we're looking over here, or we're trying to get off the roller coaster, and he's going, no, 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 come back, repent, come with me on this ride. It's going to be beautiful, and there's going to be turns, and there's going to be twists, and it's going to be scary sometimes. I'm going to ask you to do this, or I'm going to ask you to do that. But I'm telling you, this is the way life is tended to be. This is the way you were designed. This is the way that the first Adam was designed, and he was connected, and it was all good. It was not just good. It was very good. And I want to bring you back to that. I want to bring you back to this place where you're following me and you're riding this life that brings peace, that brings shalom, that brings this way of life that is different than anything that you've ever seen or experienced in this world. And it's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. We were once lost. We were once not on the roller coaster with God. And now we are because of what Jesus did. He paid the price for us. Church, we need to walk with God. We need it on a daily basis to walk with the Spirit. We need to be dependent upon Him. When you wake up or when you go to bed, you should be going, man, I need Jesus. Not just way over here in one moment in time, but all through your life. College students, you're going to have lots of opportunities. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. And I'm so glad for you. But know that you need Jesus. The church is God's embassy here on earth. It is the place where the proclamation of the gospel comes. It is the place where it is holy and it is sacred. Do not forsake the assembly, because you need reminders of the gospel. You need reminders of how to ride the ride. You need reminders to not walk away from the ride. You need to be reminded that the Spirit lives in you and wants to work in you. And it's not going to force itself. And we all need those reminders. It's not going to force itself, but it's going to push. It's going to nudge. It's going to guide. It's going to direct. It's going to protect. The good news of Jesus is the most wild, incredible, greatest ride that you could ever possibly have. That is the good news. Church, we need to proclaim that. We need to proclaim the light that Jesus has brought us into. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We're thankful. I'm just thankful for what Jesus did for me. I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and every day I need movement to stay on the ride with you. I need movement in my own heart, my own sin, those own dark places in my life. It's not a one and done, but it's a wild ride with you. There are hills, there are valleys, there are curves right and left, and loops and dives down and smooth places, and all of those are good, God. But let us live lives that are totally connected to you, totally connected on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, that we are dependent upon you in our lives. Let us listen to your Spirit. Let us run the race that you have laid out for us. Let us go through the tracks that you have created for us. Let us live this life of a roller coaster, and let us scream on the mountaintops that you are good. You are good, and this is the greatest ride in the world. Thanks for Jesus. Thanks for what he did, that he bought the ticket for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.